Welcome to another episode of Rodis Live. Let's get it.
They call him punt, the wild guy.
Welcome to Rodis Live. I'm your host, Rodis. We got a very special episode today. Happy birthday to the king of pop, Michael Jackson. Nas is the Rodis Live, what's poppin' artist of the day, y'all. Let's get it.
From the words of mine, just a word of advice, you can't murder Nas. All my niggas certified, we got certain ties. Streets was the office, we didn't need a shirt and tie. In my AMI, weather like the Virgin Isles. I ain't got no jewelry on, cause I'm made of ice. Element surprise, move with the passing of Christ. To Portofino, sitting high in the cliff. From a younger dude with a crew and we was working the shift. Yeah, South Park cartoon characters, I'm convinced. They never been scared to death while staying calm in the twist. I creeped in a jean jacket, headband, and Nikes. I ain't like to dodge fights as I rode my bike. And I was looking at these people thinking they just might make me come out my cool character, break through the smooth barriers, go crazy. CeeLo Green, Gnarls Barkley. Before I even pulled in the spot, they try to park me. I'm used to dark scenes, that's why I spark green. Why I pour wine? They don't stock these, I gotta order mine. Malcolm X departed at the Audubon. Seen so many slaughtered, I'm numb, never mortified. All black Audemars, you claim yours was one of one. We timepiece monsters, every season we be on the hunt. Jeepers, creepers, America's a baby that's teething. Shitting on itself, crying for his next feat. As odd as it gets, it's not even a toddler yet. Gang members got nothing on these congressmen. Plus Ray Liotta and James Conda, iconic actors who were redemption for these mob guys. We easing on down the road for the third win. Who's bad is up and is stuck, feel the whirlwind. Like young Quincy Jones stuck outside the club to Ray Charles Snuckerman. I'd be young again, but right now it's like I got the power of 100 men. Now's a hit like Michael and Quincy on the run again. Eardrums diversionized from the words of mine. Just a word of advice, you can't murder Nas. All my niggas certified, we got certain ties. I'm activated, my hair might spark flames. Aviator frames, bandages, laminates, the stage. From a stretcher I wave. Even if I never had two arms full of Grammys or responsive from Pepsi, I'd still be honorary. Like Quincy on the trumpet, Hit-Boy on the drum kit. Nasty like Michael, no vocals, I overdub it. Bouncing off the wall, always starting something. Behind the scenes of the thriller video, big budgets. Moonwalking, smooth criminal talking. I'm changing colors right now till I'm dark skin. Adam Clayton Powell, complexion the ball wins. Andy, are you okay watching me transforming? Pinky ring glitter like the socks and the glove. Know some money getting thugs that could buy the Beatles pub. That's what I really call copping white, re-ing up.
That was Nas with Michael and Quincy off of the KD3 album, King Disease 3. That song is available on all streaming platforms. It's time for another segment of What's Poppin', y'all. Got to be there. That's what's poppin'. Ben, that's what's poppin'. Music and me, that's what's poppin'. Forever Michael, that's what's poppin'. Off the Wall, that's what's poppin'. Thriller, that's what's poppin'. Bad, that's what's poppin'. Dangerous, that's what's poppin'. History, past, present, and future book, that's what's poppin'. Invincible, that's what's poppin'.
Emotional is an intense poetic story of range journey of love and chaos through poetry, and brief narratives that are certain to keep you engaged and elated. as you ride the waves of emotions with her. Go pick up the book Emotional by Kyoko today, available on Amazon.com.
Let's go. Bitches and bitch ass niggas.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading and thank you for checking out this dope podcast. I am the host, 12 Kyle, and we got a special treat for you on this one, man. We are going to be talking. We're going to be going back. We're going back to talk about an incredible album. Most of you know the name of this album and the songs that are on this album, but there's a caveat. There are some songs that did not make this album that was subsequently released, and we're going to talk about it all. The album is entitled Thriller. It's by a guy. It's from a guy you may have heard of by the name of Michael Jackson. But Thriller 40 is something a little bit different. And of course, as you're listening or you're watching, you can see that I'm not alone. Starting first, first person I want to introduce, hailing from the city of wind. And
what's good, 12 Cal? What's popping?
Hey, man, you tell me.
I can't call it. I'm honored to be here in this great company.
No doubt, no doubt. And of course, if you're watching, the guy who's showing the guns, literally, my man from the West Coast. Compton Zone, Dolomite, Uncle Dolomite, Dolly, what's good, man?
Good evening, motherfuckers and motherfuckettes, for all y'all listening and shit. I'm just chilling.
Good, good, good. Good to see you, brother. And last but not least, the man, the only person that I know in the state of West Virginia right now, my man JR from WV Uncommonplace. JR, what's good, man?
Man, doing real good. Everybody knows the living legend, like Larry Sabisco. The podcasting elite is in the building.
Oh, shit.
The slime ball.
Talk your shit, JR. Well, we're going to talk about Thriller, more specifically. The album was released, the original album, Thriller, was released in 1982. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I, of the four of us, I'm the oldest.
No doubt.
I'm 50.
Hold on.
What?
How old are you, Rodis?
I'm the oldest.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought Rodis was young. Rodis, how old are you?
50 plus.
Hell no.
Rodis is big homie.
Okay. Okay. So Rodis might have been in the studio with Michael Jackson when he recorded his album in 1982. Me, on the other hand, I was 10. But nonetheless, Thriller. Again, the album came out in 1982. Before we even get into the tracks and before we even get into our thoughts on some of these songs and some of the songs that did not make it, let's go back, man. I guess our initial memories of Thriller, for me, again, I was 10 when the album came out. It's honestly, it's very hard for me to explain how big of a deal this album was in 1982 and then subsequently in 1983. Because it was an album that literally everybody had. I mean, like, even white racist people bought Thriller. I mean, there was literally, because the album sold over a period of time, I think now it's up to like 68, 69 million copies sold. And when I say copies, folks, I mean physical copies where you had to go and purchase. You couldn't just pull it up on, you know, Spotify or iTunes and just listen. 69 million hard copies. That doesn't happen anymore, obviously, now because of technology. But in 1982, it was literally an album that everybody had. And it was literally an album that there was a song from that album that got played on almost every type of radio station that you can imagine. Black radio stations, top 50 radio stations, white radio stations, gospel radio stations. You name it, AM, FM, it did not matter. This album was everywhere. It's the one album that I say that everybody in America had. And I think that still holds true to this day. Like, you don't know anybody that didn't have Thriller. And for what it's worth, if they didn't have Thriller, at least they had access to someone who had Thriller. It was just that prevalent. It's really hard to explain what Michael Jackson was or who Michael Jackson was at that time. Michael Jackson was the biggest star in the world, bigger than Magic Johnson, bigger than any basketball player like Larry Bird, bigger than any baseball player, any other entertainer that you could think of, bigger than the president, who was Ronald Reagan at the time, bigger than any other person walking the face of the earth. Michael Jackson was, as the kids say, him. So it's really hard to kind of put it in context, but everybody had this album. So those are like my first memories, just without even, you know, diving into the album. But I just wanted to kind of give everybody some level of context as to what this album was and how prevalent it was any and everywhere. You literally could not go anywhere without either hearing the songs or seeing the video. Michael Jackson at the time, honestly, not a lot of black artists got play on MTV. Michael Jackson at one point in time was the only black artist that got play on MTV, much to the chagrin of Rick James.
Shout out Rick James.
Yeah. Shout out to Rick. Mike was the only one. He was the only one. So I'll toss it to you guys. I'll start with you first, Rodis. What are your first memories of the Thriller album?
Wow. The video. Seeing Michael Jackson walking with Ola Ray Fine Ass. Even though I was 12, goddammit. I think that might have been the first time I ever had an erection.
Pause.
Time catching a Woody.
Because they was running, the promo was crazy for Thriller. They was doing the behind the scenes and everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Cooley had one of my favorite movies, and one of the actors, Stone, he was actually, you know, in the Thriller video. I remember that shit.
Mm. And Ola Ray, shout out to Ola Ray, because Ola Ray was a playmate, and they didn't have a lot of black playmates at the time. Yeah. But yeah, she posed in Playboy. She posed nude. She was bad too for 1980.
Shout out to Stone and Robert too. Real street niggas.
Yeah,
Stone and Robert.
Yep. Mike, what's your first memories of Thriller?
Being deathly afraid of that video. Like, you know, Thriller came out in 82. I was born in 82.
Gotcha.
So I guess my cousins used to tell me the stories about when I was like a little kid, they'd play the video and I would take the fuck off. Like, I'm out of there. So that's the first memories that I have, is that video used to scare the living daylights out of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happened for a lot of people. What about you? What'd you say, Rodgers?
It was spooky.
Very much so.
Yeah. It was like realistic zombies. Like, mm-hmm. for those times, that video could have been a real movie. Because it,
really it
was like a mini movie.
It was.
But
it
if they'd have made that shit an hour, I couldn't even imagine how them theaters would have been packed to watch that shit.
Yeah. Keep in mind that the song is about 6 minutes long, but the video itself in its entirety is like 15 minutes. So it was literally a mini movie. And I remember when they debuted it on MTV, and then subsequently they debuted it on CBS, which was crazy because you didn't get videos on network TV. You got videos on, you know, MTV, because MTV at that particular time, I think, came out in like 1981, somewhere around there. But you didn't get videos like that. You didn't get any videos on network TV, but they did broadcast this on network TV.
You couldn't see the videos to at least maybe like 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and everybody knows at least one move from the Thriller dance.
And also the cat ass at the end of the mini movie.
Yeah, freaked them out. Look at that. JR, what about you, man?
Let me take on a little story here. So John Landis, that's American Werewolf in Paris, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Vincent Price with that scary voice.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson was scary in that shit, but Vincent Price fucked it up for me as a young kid, because when I heard his voice come on with the hoo ha 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 extra shit, like, it messed me up.
And he made it pop with that.
Yeah, and the thing is, it was just like everything cinematography, because y'all know I'm well rounded about everything. It was the greatest thing for that time. Now, mind you, I was born in 1985, so when that thing come out there. And, you know, by the time I got it like 88, 89, because, you know, I was a young kid. And watching it at 3 or 4 years old, I was terrified. my mom just, they used to just run it. And then, you know, we had the 45. So when you listen on 45, it was a pure sound, but you know, the little small one, small record. So for me, like just the whole aura of it, it made me want to be a Michael Jackson fan. Mm.
I still want that red jacket.
Yeah.
But I need a blue red one.
All y'all are rich.
I need a blue
one.
I
didn't have a Thriller jacket.
Nah, I need a blue Thriller jacket.
Not a blue one. Yeah, you can't rock no red Thriller jacket. A blue one would be dope, though, for real.
Yeah, it would be tough. Blue one. Royal blue. Tough.
There you go. There you go. Quick trivia question. JR, and I'm going to throw it to each one of you. JR, how much money do you think that Vincent Price made from the Thriller, for doing the voiceover for Thriller?
I don't believe he made any money.
Okay. Rodas, how much money do you think he made?
At least 8 cents a copy.
So give me a total. What you think?
Fair.
If you had to guess, Mr. Math teacher.
Well,
math professor.
It sold 64 million copies.
They had 70 million now.
Oh, shit. I probably got maybe 25,000.
Okay. What about you, Dolly?
I was going to say 50,000 up front.
Okay. Here's the funny thing. Vincent Price was given the option of taking 20 grand up front or taking a percentage of the proceeds of the album.
Wow. Take the back
he
end.
Money, not have took that front end.
He took the 20 grand.
Oh, dumbass.
Now, in fairness to him, he did not know.
Ain't no fairness, dog. That's Michael fucking Jackson.
That was dumb.
That's Michael fucking Jackson. He was Michael Jackson then.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like he was like, oh, we got this guy named Michael Jackson. He's this new kid out of Gary, Indiana. Like, nigga, he was Mike then.
Right.
Off the Wall had already been out. Like, nigga, that's Mike. Grand.
And The Moonwalk has already been seen,
nigga,
on Motown 25.
If he took a penny off that
motherfucker,
he'd have millions.
$20,000 is it?
20. He took 20 up front and did not take any percentage of
any per copy.
Did he die?
He took 1%.
I just told you he sold 70 million.
But didn't he die? Didn't Vincent Price like die a little bit after that?
I'd have took the back end money.
He died. Let me see.
He probably died when he realized the mistake he made. He had a fucking heart attack.
He grabbed his chest. He was like, oh,
on everything.
This is a big one, Evelyn. I'm coming.
He died October 25th, 1993 in LA. He was
11 more years.
It don't say, let me look at
He died off a drug overdose.
He had to live with that shit.
How did he die? Yeah. How did he die?
When he, because I know that motherfucker probably went triple platinum in an hour.
Parkinson's. Died from Parkinson's.
Damn, that's crazy.
But yeah, that's still okay. No wonder the tank top is on. we'll talk about that off here.
Right.
So yeah, I think he 20 grand up front. Now to Dolomite's point, this is Michael Jackson. He's coming off of Off the Wall, literally.
Off the Wall might be better than Thriller.
Ain't no might.
It's a fucking toss up.
To me, it's like, because
I think it is. Too.
Off the Wall was my favorite Mike album, and then I listened to this motherfucker again. And I was like, damn.
Yeah, and the thing is, that's the last disco album. That's the last official disco album.
Cold and a motherfucker.
Yeah, because Off the Wall, it was my favorite for sure. For sure.
Yeah, it was. And I think, you know, in fairness, in trying to be fair to Vincent Price, he didn't know. But I mean, like, bro, you gotta know this because, like Dolomite said, even if he just gets if he gets half a penny, he's a multi-millionaire off this album. His grandkids, his great grandkids, everybody's still eating off this album because this album is still selling, even though people aren't buying physical copies
to this day.
To this day,
he took generational wealth from his family. He took generational.
Yeah, like, because the thing is, it's still streaming heavy.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Like every Halloween, I know just the song Thriller go crack. Like there's motherfuckers who literally they wedding reception, they perform the dance from Thriller.
Facts.
In our city of Parkersburg, they do it at Halloween. They block off one street and they do the little slide and everything else.
And that's what I'm saying. And I know the motherfucker get paid off that. Like,
mm-hmm.
But and that's Christmas, his damn voice.
They had the vinyl of Off the Wall and Thriller and Purple Rain sitting in there for $20 each at Target.
Mm.
Shout out Target. I got that shit.
So I got to ask JR, what makes Thriller unique? What separates Thriller from, you know, a lot of other albums? Not just the record sales. We're gonna move away from the sales, but what separates Thriller from what we at least knew back then as an album and, you know, right now?
It's one word: dynamic.
Yes.
When you listen to Thriller, with the exception for me for one song, and one song I've talked to Dolomite and other people about this, "The Girl Is Mine," we know that that's a certain type of, that was a marketing deal.
Mm-hmm.
But the exception of "The Girl Is Mine," you can listen to that whole album and each cut has some point or some place with you at some point. Maybe not every day, but it's a full album you can listen to. Like I said, "The Girl Is Mine," always going to put a question mark on it. It was the money. It's a money grab. And I'm a money grab type person, so I would have done it too. So you know, "Baby Be Mine." You know, I'm not going to go into full detail, but "Baby Be Mine," mm-hmm. But then the killer in the streets, like, what, you know, these light-skinned, sensitive people like me, "The Lady in My Life," I took that. I got more pussy off that than any other song playing in the background. He killed Luther Vandross in my world with that song. And Luther, I can do anything with his music.
That's because you was fucking them white girls.
Damn right.
What about you, Rodis? What in your opinion, what separates this album from, you know, its contemporaries at that particular time?
After seeing him on Motown 25, the album dropped shortly after that. So you know, him having that platform to kind of introduce it. And then hearing about how he actually created the album, he said he wanted to make an album with no skips on it. You know what I mean? And I think he accomplished that. So just the behind the scenes, you know, him talking about, you know, what he wanted to do and discussing it, sucking up the game, you know, around the creativity of it. That's for me.
What about you, Dolly?
I feel like it was Doggy Style 1982. Like, remember when Snoop Dogg came out and it was like Dr. Dre on the beat. And then it's not that Mike was new, but Mike was relatively new as a solo artist.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like part of Mike's coming out party. On Quincy Jones, like, everything in this album was like, you got the best of everything and the best of everybody's best. Like, it was like the best work of a whole lot of the best people in the business at the time. Like, it was literally like the dream team playing basketball.
Facts.
In audio form.
Facts. Yeah, I agree. I think where this album separates itself from a lot of people was that, like, you know, Michael Jackson was a star. I mean, he had already been a star since he was, what, 7, 8 years old. But the incorporation of sound, the explosion of TV, MTV in particular, pop culture, and people just really just gravitated towards the sound and they gravitated towards Mike. And Mike ate that shit up. I mean, like, it's almost like trying to think about this album. Let's say this album comes out today and this around the same time social media comes out at the same time. So you get Twitter, you get Facebook, you get Instagram, all of that at once. And then you have that to push the album even further. And beyond it being a very, very good album to begin with. Yeah, Mike was out of here. He was literally out of here. And I mean, we know he collected, you know, 15 million Grammys and so forth and so on. When you talk about, and you Dolomite just touched on it, so I'm going to go back to you, Dolomite. Quincy Jones, the architect of this album. What do you think his impact was on this album and his influence on Michael in particular.
Yeah, his impact on Mike in particular, I feel like he influenced the sound that Mike created very heavily. Like he took it out of the, you know, the Motown sound into what the 80s, you know, like synthesized and, you know, more like upbeat, up-tempo music. So, you know, I feel like a lot of that was Quincy. Like the beats that he brought to Mike, you know, even though Mike took them on, it was like literally, like, it was Lob City. It was like when Chris Paul and Blake Griffin got on the court. Like, nigga, I'm finna throw you some alley-oops, nigga, that you don't know nothing about. Watch when you get these motherfuckers. And that's what it was. It was like, nigga, I got some shit for you. Cause I know you finna act a fucking fool.
No doubt. What about you, Rodis?
Well, one thing that we all forgetting about is, you know, he wanted to separate himself from his brothers more than anything. And with this new sound, he could express his creativity more than anything. And that's what I think he did. You could tell some of the things that he implemented on the album as opposed to his earlier work. You know what I mean?
So, oh, no doubt. And this album doesn't sound like Off the Wall at all.
No.
At all.
Shout out Off the Wall.
Yeah, Off the Wall was good.
What about you, JR?
All right, so here's the thing. Quincy Jones, he decided that he was going to make a genre of music. He decided that I'm going to make pop music. He decided that Michael Jackson was going to be the catalyst. Michael Jackson, in turn, came through. And, you know, with this 40th album, we heard the demos, the early demos. You can tell, like, we get the real progression. See, I wish we had got that years ago. But you hear the progression in some of these songs and how they were built. You can tell that Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones, when they sat there together doing whatever they were doing back then, drinking whatever, they brilliant minds. Like, something that will never, ever happen again in music. And it hasn't happened. I mean, we got quality music, but what I'm saying is the architect of this album, Quincy Jones, but the man that's designing everything on each floor, Michael Jackson. And then they get together in that collaborative effort. And, you know, all the stuff with Quincy Jones, you know, he was big. Paul Anka, Burt Bacharach, all these people he ran around with. You know, he had a core of people with him that gave him a little bit of skill, but he did something that most people can't do. He outlasted potential. He became great in this album, and he's continued to do that since then in limited spaces. But when you hear a Quincy Jones track, you know a Quincy Jones track.
Well, when we talk about architects, one architect we cannot forget, and that is the late great Rod Temperton.
Yes.
Rod Temperton's fingerprints is all over this album. If you don't know, get familiar. Rod Temperton is arguably one of the greatest music songwriters in any genre of music ever. He first collabed with Michael Jackson on the Off the Wall album. He wrote Rock With You and the title track Off the Wall, as well as Burn This Disco Out. And then he crafted, well, I think the first credit I see on here that he did was Boogie Nights. That was the first, he wrote that for Heat Wave. Also Always and Forever, and The Groove Line, just to name a few. And then obviously now was 77, so you fast forward to 79 and then here to 82 for this album. But Rod Temperton, I don't really know how this album sounds if you don't have Rod Temperton on it as far as the writing. He wrote most of this album along with Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson is credited for, you know, some writing credits on this album. But while Quincy Jones was the producer, Rod Temperton, if he's not on this album, I don't necessarily know if it sounds and feels the way that it does. So let's get to some of these tracks, man. Right before we came on, we talked a little bit about Starlight. Now, if you're not familiar, Starlight is on the Thriller 40. It was a song that when you listen to it, and we're gonna play a little bit of Starlight here in just a second. When you listen to it, if you haven't heard it, it sounds a little familiar. So
yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So we're gonna tap into it right now. So you check it out and vibe with us.
Thank you.
listen. JR, talk to me about this track, man. What do you think?
All
about
right, all right. So can I give a quick little origin story on all, how on this episode?
Hey, man,
fast?
Go ahead.
All right, so here's the origin story. I'm at work and everybody knows who I work for. So we're in a building or something. And
Well, who do you work for, JR? Because you just said it like we all know. We don't know.
Everybody knows I work for Walmart.
Okay.
Corporate
Walmart. Wally World.
Okay. Corporate Walmart.
Gotcha.
He the boss.
Because I mean, I thought you worked for Franklin Saint. I didn't know.
He be firing motherfuckers.
Every day. Fun.
That's his hobby. Firing motherfuckers.
Shout out to Louis.
Yeah, every day at 9:30. But anyway, so here's the deal. Someone brings this song to me. You know, we listen to all kinds of stuff on the speakers, and we do put it on Walmart radio for one person. But anyway, I heard this song Starlight, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? And, you know, my shoulder went out a little bit, and next thing you know, the worker comes back over to me, and he shows me on Apple Music, and I did do a spot for them. Thriller 40. I didn't even know it had came out. So I started listening to the B-side because, you know, all of us growing up, we had the tapes and we always went to B-side before we did A-side because we knew what A-side was because they played it on radio. So I heard Starlight. Next thing you know, I hit up King Germ. King Germ says, man, you got to throw this to 12 Cal. 12 Cal, get on this. 12 Cal got you, get you set up for this. And I started talking to you about it. And next thing you know, King Germ comes back again. He's like, you got to get Rodis. You got to get Rodis. And then I said, we'll keep the conversation going a little bit longer. And I said, you know, Dolly got to come on to join. I said, Dolly be out there. He's with music. He's in tune. He's from California. He was probably, you know, hanging out at the Westwood Studios in Los Angeles when they was recording. Some of his people probably helped with the funding for the show. I mean, for the album, you know, that 750K. So I was like, everybody got to get together. We got to talk about this. Because can I do this real quick? Take over the interview for just a quick second. This is your show. But anyway, can I get the y'all's first initial reaction to Starlight when you heard it?
I was surprised.
My initial reaction was literally this nigga JR was hating. Because before I heard the song, me and JR had discussed it. Like we you know, he called me on the phone to introduce me to, like, hey, you know, we finna do this thing. And I was like, oh shit, it's out. So I'm gonna go check the motherfucker out. So he was like, yeah, man, it's, you know, it's all these extra tracks and all of this. I was like, oh, no shit. So he was like, yeah, man, it's this one Starlight. It was like, I guess it was supposed to be like a song on Star Wars soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So he telling me that. So he like, yeah, you know, I wasn't really feeling that one. I'm like, I'm going to check it out. He's like, yeah, man, it got like the Thriller feel, but it was before Thriller. So I'm listening to it. I'm like, it's different, but I don't dislike it. Mm-hmm. Like, I still was jamming to it, so I'm like, nah, this nigga was tripping, because I'm thinking it's finna be whack, because it was different, but it sounded like it wasn't mixed, but I still fucked with it.
Yeah.
What about you, Rodis?
It wasn't a fit with Star Wars. I'm glad that they stuck with the orchestra shit, but my initial response was Starlight Night. I'm like, damn, like, okay. So Michael Jackson is the star. I guess that's where they was trying to go with it. But this whole album, you know, I'm a Thriller as a star. You feel me? Mm-hmm. I'm going to fucking shock you with this shit. You know what I mean? If I'm not mistaken, Thriller was the first single and everything.
I can check for you. Keep going.
I think that's where they was trying to go with it. You know what I mean? And not to mention, you know, Michael Jackson was a heartthrob and all that for the ladies just before he really start, you know, fucking with the cosmetic surgery and all that.
He was out there with Brooke Shields. That was enough for me back then. Brooke Shields, you know, he was.
Man, look, listen. Mike was bagging some chicks.
He was fucking with Elizabeth Taylor. Like, how you do that? I mean, I know she was old, but, you know, she
gave Mike words.
That nigga was shooting for the stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, Rodis, the Thriller actually was the last single released. The first single that was released was The Girl Is Mine. That was in October 18th, 1982. So it came out just before the album. The album dropped November 29th, 1982. Mm. You know what was interesting was when I heard this song, Starlight, I was on some, I hit play and I was working, so I really wasn't like paying attention. And so when it came on, I'm listening, I'm like, okay, so it sounds like Thriller. But what it, the more I listened to it, I kept playing it over and over again. I'm like, this sounds like it sounded like something really, really nice. And Quincy Jones was like, yeah, this is good, but I can, but I need better.
And put some stank on it.
We could do it much better.
We got to put some stank on it.
And even when you hit a dun, 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 it sounds like Starlight sounds a little like Dolomite said, maybe not as mixed as much, or maybe that's just how it's not as strong. But when you hear Thriller, those original chords come in and they sound like there's something that should be played in a stadium. Stadium sounds. And like it, the music comes through you as opposed to coming to you. And I think that's the thing that stood out to me, but it was still a dope song. And what it made me think about, JR, was like, I'm trying to imagine Michael Jackson at the age that he was, at the stage that he was in his career, putting something out and Quincy would be like, you know, that's good, but we can do better than that shit. And I mean, like, that's something big.
I can hear Quincy saying that shit. We scrapping that shit.
And think about it, like, not too many people let that, and not that Mike was on some, you know, I'm the man type shit, but not too many people at that particular time probably could tell Michael Jackson, yo, we scrapping this song and we going, you got to give me something else.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'll say this though. This is what got me though. After listening to it, another go around here and there, I was like, this song is better than most people's, you know, final cuts.
Oh, hell yeah.
And it was like, and it was like throughout all of this. Now, some of them I told y'all, I've talked to y'all all outside of this, that it sounded like stuff for different type of artists, but it was like, Michael Jackson's demos is better than some people's shit they was putting out back then.
But that's crazy. Michael Jackson discipline and patience for the process.
Yes, yes.
You know, he slam dunked that shit. It ain't a whack song on Thriller.
No. And here's the thing, like, even when I move on, if we talk about the next track, Got the Hots, what I wrote down, I just made like little mental notes. I said, I wrote down, not good enough for Off the Wall or Thriller. Up-tempo joint, very smooth, probably a throwaway. And those are my notes, because like that's what it sounds like to me. And again, it's kind of weird to say, like, because I mean, like, we don't really think of Michael Jackson as far as making, as especially at this particular time in his career, he was in his bag, if you will. And so you don't really think about him making whack music. The song wasn't whack. I just don't think that's how I measure some of these songs that didn't make it. Like, could it have made Thriller? No. Could it have made Off the Wall? No.
Could have been on a soundtrack.
Could have been, that's what I'm about to jump in.
Yeah.
Could it have been on Bad? So like in those three albums, that's where, as I was listening and trying to figure out where they would be. What did you, JR, what did you think about Got the Hots?
I felt like it could have been on some 1980s rom-com movie. Like, it could have been on that soundtrack, like a rom-com movie soundtrack, and it would have done good. He could have did that shit in a commercial for anything. But album quality of what, or the stature that he has, you could tell that was a track that slipped between the cracks. Like, they threw that shit on the floor after they took Starlight and turned it into Thriller. Or the Lady in My Life, anything else, you know, up-tempo stuff, kind of just threw that one away. But overall, it could make a soundtrack. That's about it.
What about you, Dope?
I feel the same way, honestly. Like, it was cool. You know, it was like, literally, like, it was a good song, but it wasn't Thriller album good. It wasn't Bad album good. It wasn't Off the Wall album good. Like, it, them three albums, like, that's a fucking run. Like, he could have quit after that. Never recorded no music before that. And he would have been considered one of the top five greatest of all time just off them three albums. So, in the pocket he was in, this wasn't going to make it.
What about you, Rodgers?
Man, I think, you know how they used to do Motown and say, hey, would you buy a sandwich or are you going to buy this? They was like, shit, sandwich. and Michael Jackson, he was hands-on with his stuff, you know, as everybody found out later on that he was a businessman and all of that, they told him, hey, man, this ain't happening. and he felt that. That's why it didn't come out, you know?
Now, the next track after that, Who Do You Know? And again, this is a demo. I struggle to try to find like where this would fit. It wasn't bad. I mean, it's a slower song. It wasn't bad. I didn't think it would fit on, obviously I didn't think it would. And see, that's the thing, like for me, I kept going back and forth, like, where could I put this on Thriller? And I'm like, nah, it really don't fit it. Cause Mike got some slower joints on Thriller, but you, this is not, you can't run this behind The Lady of My Life.
Mm-mm. It you, didn't fit the mood.
Yeah. Yeah. JR, she's sick, shaking your head. What you got on this one?
Oh, on this one, man, I'm going to be honest. I forgot which one of y'all talked to about this. This sounded like something he could have shopped around to Rockwell or someone else. you know, I'm going to say, like, what's the artist's name? This sounded like some shit Simply Red would have been singing. Simply Red could have got on this, and it would have been something that I would have, you know, or you could have tied into anybody that's got, like, a low monotone type sound would have been fine with this. But Michael Jackson, it wasn't his... He's a great artist, but that song right there, it had no place in Thriller. It had no place in any of his album arcs.
Mm. What about you, Dolomite?
I liked it, just not for him. Because when I listened to it, I was jamming. I was like, yeah, this shit dope. But a lot of the songs that didn't make it, it wasn't Thriller good.
Right.
And even like most of the songs that didn't go, I kind of feel the same way.
So let me ask y'all. I mean, we don't have to go through each track, but and Rodis, I'll start with you. Was there any song that you thought could? I mean, obviously we know they didn't make Thriller, but do you think that there's a song or two that could have come close to either making Off the Wall or Bad or maybe a soundtrack or something like that?
Maybe a soundtrack. It's one that sound like what's the dude, Mike McDonald and shit.
Michael McDonald.
Yeah.
Michael McDonald.
I'm listening to that shit. I'm like, yo, they sold this shit to him. You know, I think that one could have made a soundtrack or something. But none of them was Off the Wall, Thriller, or Bad quality, because you could tell that, you know, with Off the Wall, Thriller, and Bad, Mike was really tapped into those sessions, you know, and he wasn't too serious, you know, when he was creating, you know, he was coming up with hot ass shit, just playing with it, you know?
What about you, Dolomite? Anything that you think could have made one of the other albums either prior to or after Thriller?
I would have liked to hear Sunset Drive on Off the Wall.
I feel that.
Like Sunset Drive, and I know Sunset Drive from the Michael Jackson game on Nintendo Wii.
yes.
I was like the world champion doing the Sunset Drive dance on the Nintendo Wii. Like I could probably do that shit right now without the little things, like the little dance move that go with that motherfucker.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that Sunset Drive, that was my one. So yeah, I'd like to hear that on Off the Wall, because Off the Wall was what, 11? Songs?
No, I think it might have been 10.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was 10.
It should have been 11. They should have put Sunset Drive on the back of that motherfucker.
It would have been a good bonus.
Yeah.
There you go. What about you, JR? All
right, now this is crazy. Y'all might kick me off the podcast for this one, but for some reason, what a lovely way to go could have been on Bad.
Okay.
It was something about it. It was kind of catchy. Like, it wouldn't have been nothing on Thriller or nothing on Off the Wall, but what a lovely way to go. Something about it. I was like, if he had mixed it a little bit, done a little bit more with it. Why are you laughing?
I wrote down Off the Wall.
I'm laughing at Rodis.
I wrote down for that one. I said, possibly an Off the Wall throwaway. That's what I have for that one. But so I'm feeling you on that. I think the only one I think that had came close was, I thought Get Out of the Rain, possibly could have been like a bonus cut or Off the Wall. Everything else, I guess knowing what we know now, it sounded kind of like in between. And really on some of these songs, you can literally hear and feel where Mike was in his pocket and figuring out like where, you know, all of these songs would have fallen. You know, once he scrapped them, if he scrapped them for Thriller, he's like, oh, well, I could probably put this on Bad, or I could probably, you know, give this to somebody or whatever like that. But again, all of them are fairly decent songs. It was only, I think there's only one song that I just didn't like.
Yeah, there's one that was trash ass.
I wasn't a fan of Toy. Didn't like
it. Me neither. You could tell, like, in my creative process, he was covering all bases, and he kind of knew the direction where he wanted to go. He just had to get his shit off in the sessions, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And I think that showed, you know, especially as you move further and further through this album. Now, if you go back to the original Thriller, I mean, it's 9 tracks, 42 minutes long. I'm going to bring back something that King German and I argued about. Shout out to King German from the Pie and Saved Our Marriage podcast. And so I want to get you guys' take on it. I told King Germ, and I still stand firm in believing this, that Purple Rain was a better album than Thriller. Dolomite, what say you?
Thriller.
Okay.
I fuck with Purple Rain, but Thriller.
Rodis?
I think Purple Rain was a better album than Thriller. It was one of the first vinyls that I actually had. I was in 8th grade. I had The Cars, New Edition, All for Love, and Purple Rain. And Purple Rain, you could listen to that motherfucker all the way through on side A and side B. You know what I'm saying?
What about you, JR?
I think Purple Rain is a better album than Thriller for the record.
What about you, JR?
Thriller is a better album. Purple Rain was only good for getting pussy.
Damn.
Purple Rain, the movie, and all that other stuff, Morris Day, awesome. Great stuff. He was great for MTV. He was great for MTV.
And the time.
And the time, yeah. You know. But outside of that, Thriller would crush that.
Really? You say crush? Okay, okay.
Crushes it. Demolishes.
Wow, okay.
It depends on your music taste, yeah, for me personally.
But I'll also, can I say this for the record, though? As an entertainer, though, I will say that I like Prince better as an entertainer than Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson could dance, but Prince was a better entertainer.
Is a better entertainer, and Prince is a better musician.
Yeah. Are y'all gonna flip?
No. Huh? I mean that's what it is.
Like, you'd rather see Prince on stage than Mike?
As an entertainer, did y'all see that little bit with James Brown having both of them on stage?
Man,
Mike danced circles around that nigga.
Man, Mike is the better entertainer.
Yes. Then I'll switch it up. I recant my statement. Prince I recant my statement. Better. I take it back.
The nigga, when I watched it, I said, "Oh damn, nice try, Prince."
and I think that's what make Purple Rain better, because he had more of a role in the music overall, the instrumentation and everything, and the way the album was sequenced was flawless, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, with him being a musician, he played the instruments and all that stuff. Like Mike did some writing, but his musicianship stopped there. Like Prince wrote, directed, played instruments, did damn near everything on almost all of his, well, not all of his, especially his earlier albums. You know, by the time he got to Purple Rain, he was allowing, you know, Wendy and Lisa to help out, as well as, you know, some of the other musicians in the band in the Revolution. So, but yeah, the reason why I asked that is because, like I said, me and King Germ talked about it and I did a podcast on it, and literally, and Rodis could tell you guys, because you guys are much younger, literally in the 80s, that question could start a fight.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm looking at the track list right now. Yeah, Thriller. Yeah,
Thriller all day, like
Thriller.
And I think they're both nine songs deep. Okay, so Thriller. JR, you mentioned a little earlier The Girl Is Mine. Is that the throwaways? If that's the one song that you got to get rid of on this album, is that the one that you're getting rid of?
Always.
Okay.
Clint Cooley said it best. That's the skip.
If it is the skip, it's because they was playing it before the album came out, and that's all you heard. That's the only reason.
I didn't have a problem with that song.
Me neither. But I'm just saying, if you gotta get skip it,
you gotta get rid of one.
But shit.
Yeah, that's the one I would just get rid of.
If I gotta get rid of one, I probably get rid of Baby Be Mine.
Yeah, it was a lot of begging on that. Into begging.
For real. JL's out of his chair.
That keeps sweat shit out of here.
But JL, if I had to get rid of one, I'm getting rid of Baby Be Mine.
I agree.
Girl Is Mine Could Stay, Thriller, because it goes One to Be Starting Something, Baby Be Mine, Girl Is Mine, Thriller, Beat It, Billie Jean, Human Nature, PYT, and The Lady of My Life. The Lady of My Life is an excellent close.
That's a classic, boy. Yes. And Billie Jean is so gangster.
Man, listen. When I tell you, you couldn't go anywhere without hearing that song.
And if somebody asks you to dance, you gotta get out there.
And here's the funny thing, even when you think about a song like Beat It, with that guitar solo of Eddie Van Halen, that song got so much airplay on black radio. Like, it's really a rock song. It's not a R&B song. And to get it played on black-ass black radio in 1982, 83 was crazy. But you hear it damn near every day. And people didn't care. Nobody cared about the guitar solo. They didn't care about none of this. They didn't care about, you know, hey, Dolomite. Mike was the first to unite the Bloods and the Crips.
Mike was a Crip, though.
Hey, Michael Jackson.
Mike was a Crip.
Michael Jackson was
okay. Hold on.
Mike was a Crip.
Hold on. Time out.
He literally got a song called Blue Gangster.
Time out.
Yeah, he does.
Dolomite, how is Michael Jackson a Crip?
He from 97 East Coast. He a Crip. You ain't see the picture with him with the Crips?
Where?
Yeah.
Dog, I know
he is with the Crips. Yeah.
He got a picture with the 97 East Coasts.
But can I throw some in real quick? Because I didn't get
the Way You Make Me Feel video. Those was real Crips.
Yeah. Well,
let me write this. Michael Jackson.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
Mike is from Gary. Ain't no.
He is from Gary,
him.
Indiana. That's the what do y'all call
Gary,
it?
Gary is the baddest hood in the fucking Midwest.
Look at here, dog.
Oh shit. That's the picture I'm pulling up right now.
Right.
Mike was a Crip.
Mike throwing up gang signs.
He was a Crip.
And he was a brother, too. You see that? Right over left.
Yeah, man. Mike was a loke.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that, man. Mike, actually. And this was the Way You Make Me Feel video.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It was Mike Jack with two C's.
He had Stone in the video, 12 Cal.
I did not know Michael Jackson. I didn't know these were real Crips.
Mike was a Crip. Yes, them was real Crips. Them 97 East Coast.
Wow. Boy, you learn something new every day.
Right. Hey, but one thing I'm
literally looking at the pictures. Go ahead.
Is this one thing is the worst song got on this whole 30 Thriller 40 for me was Carousel. Carousel. That was like the worst.
I didn't like the toy.
Yeah, I didn't like the toy. Toy
I didn't like the toy.
Carousel, I wrote down and said it could have been a promo. Maybe.
Yeah, I didn't hate Carousel, but I kind of hated the toy.
Yeah, the toy was bad too, but Carousel for me, for some reason, that sounded like some shit that should have been at one of them theme parks or something when he was out there doing Captain EO.
Carousel, you know, would have been good as a snippet, you know?
But you know, if we're being honest, we're critiquing songs that didn't make the album, and I mean, damn near every artist has that, you know, songs that don't make the album. Now, some artists, they'll make songs and they'll say, okay, well, hey, we'll put this on the next album. But fortunately, you know, none of these other songs, you know, saw the light of day. We, you know, kind of kicked around some that could have made, you know, subsequent albums. But nah, but this, I mean.
And the funny thing about these songs that we're talking about, if another artist came out with them, they might have been singles.
Facts.
Yeah.
Right. Facts.
The caliber of the songs was good, but they just wasn't good enough for Thriller.
Yeah, because like I said, Sunset Drive, I like that song. Like, I would have loved for that to been on the album. Like, I'm telling you, when I heard that on the Michael Jackson video game, I said, oh, they fucked up not putting it somewhere. I'm glad they put it on the game.
I think that's one of my favorites out of all of the ones.
Because I was dancing like I wasn't even a gangster.
Oh, man. So JR, you got a 10-year-old, and just hypothetical. You got a 10-year-old coming to you. They've never heard Michael Jackson's song before. They want you to play. You want to play Thriller. What's the first song you're playing?
Human Nature.
Mm. What about you, Rodis? I see you shaking your head.
Yeah. Beat It.
Okay. What about you, Dolomite?
A 10-year-old. Yeah, Beat It. Because I think Beat It at the time was my favorite. Beat It's It was like one of my songs.
It's a confidence builder, and there's some gems up in that motherfucker.
All right, so let me put some logic behind what I'm saying. With this generation of children, human nature.
He just said a 10-year-old.
Oh, all right. Well, I put too much connotation into it.
Fourth grade,
I'm giving him human nature.
Hey, I'm gonna hit him with Wanna Be Starting Something. Mama say, Mama say, Mama cool say.
Man, that shit was cold and a motherfucker.
But Beat It. And you know, because I'm from the hood, like the aggression of Beat It was like, Beat It, nigga.
Yeah. Beat It. The fuck?
Yeah, nigga, Beat It.
Yeah, you told somebody to beat it before you say, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Beat It was my shit. And the dance of Beat It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can fuck with the dance.
This motherfucker right here.
Mike's
Beat It was the shit, dog. Yeah, nigga, the dance to Beat It.
His videos were crazy.
Funny thing, it's a video of me on YouTube dancing to Beat It.
You need to send it to us.
I'm definitely not sending you shit.
Yeah,
you need I'll find it.
We'll find it.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. You're going to have to look for that motherfucker. But I was getting cracking.
Gangsta Boogie.
I'm going to delete that shit.
And like on the Thriller video, the most gangstest thing that Michael Jackson said to Ola Bray was, walk with me. Walk with me. That shit was a gangsta.
Whoa. So I want to pivot a little bit. So this album comes out, it sells a gazillion records. There's somewhat of a fall off to Bad. And Bad wasn't, you can go back and listen to Bad. Bad wasn't a bad album.
Bad was the shit.
It just wasn't Thriller. Tough. It just wasn't Thriller. That's all. And I think people's, at least what I can remember back then, people's expectations were that he was going to deliver Thriller Part 2, and it just realistically wasn't going to happen. What album, Rodis, post-Thriller, do you rock with the most for Michael Jackson?
Bad.
Okay. Any particular reason why?
Remember the Times and all that shit. That shit was cold in a motherfucker.
But Remember the Time. That wasn't on Bad though. That was on.
Remember the Time was.
Dangerous. Yeah.
My bad. Dangerous.
Okay.
The videos was cold. The music was smooth. He had some good balance and shit on there.
What about you, JR?
This is a hard one. Like, I have to go with him. Yeah, pause on that one, man. Either way, I have to say Invincible, because the sound of Invincible, he never recaptured that. It was different, and you know, like, to me, that was the last real album he made.
Facts, big facts.
Because anything else that came out afterwards, I was just like, to the right with that.
Well, we can all agree none of his shit flopped.
Right. Well,
no, I mean, he's Michael Jackson. I mean, like, it's when you sell 70 million, I mean, like, that's never going to be duplicated. So it's like, if you come back and you sell 10 million on the next record, yeah, technically you didn't sell what you sold the previous album, but you know, it's never going to be duplicated. So I mean, like,
Michael Jackson went fucking jewelry store with Thriller.
Let me go to this real quick, it's like if
Wilt Chamberlain only get 15 rebounds, is that a bad guy?
Yeah,
no,
because you're still Michael Jackson and you're still selling out tours and everything
you
else.
Still shut down a stadium without saying shit for 10 minutes.
People pass the fuck out.
Well, I'll say this.
When he was on the Super Bowl, he stood there 2 minutes straight, didn't say shit, didn't do shit, didn't move.
And people passed out.
Exactly. Right.
I'll say this, 1997 album, On a Dance Floor. That wasn't good.
What, Blood on the Dance Floor? Yeah. I'll be honest. I don't think I ever heard all of it in its entirety.
The little joint, that was the one that had the song with Biggie on it, right?
I don't think so. The only song I remember was the lead single, Blood on the Dance Floor. That's the only thing I remember. I mean, it could have been something else on there, but that's what I remember.
Which album had Biggie on it? It was Invincible, my bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what about you, though, Mike? the album that you rock with post Thriller the most?
Bad.
Okay. For me,
that was the shit. Like Dirty Diana is one of my favorite songs by Mike. Period.
Man, hey,
that's a video game joint too.
Yeah. I love Dirty Diana, dog. Mm-hmm. Like that. I've been playing Dirty Diana my whole life. Like, I don't really go a long time without playing Dirty Diana.
Mm. Yeah, for me, it's Invincible. Invincible and Dangerous is probably a close second.
Yeah, Dangerous, cold.
Real cold. Favorite Michael Jackson song, any album? Favorite Michael, I'll start it off because I know that's a tough one. For me, Remember the Time.
Hell yeah, that's
Butterflies is probably crazy. Butterflies is a close second. I love Butterflies. But yeah, my favorite of all time, Remember the Time. JR, what about you? I see you over there thinking.
I mean, I see where King Jerome gets the similarities between me and you, because it is Remember the Times. Because like, I'm thinking just two ways on this: the video,
yeah,
and actually listen to the song. It's actually on my playlist that is publicly available to anybody. You know, so that's Remember the Times. It was just something about it. It was a different Michael Jackson on that, and you don't hear it nowhere else. What you going with, Dolomite?
Dirty Diana.
Not wrong with that.
Cause like I used to go back and forth with Beat It and I'm Bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I listen to I'm Bad and I would hear that ad lib, really, really bad, it really just turned me off. I'm like, what the fuck is really bad? Oh my, what the fuck is that shit? I didn't like that really, really bad. It didn't sound really, really bad. Bad niggas don't use the word really.
I think he did that to soften it up a little bit.
Yeah.
blow a little bit.
You should have said bad than the motherfucker.
That
would have made it my favorite song. But
what
like,
about you, Ryder? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish Dolomite.
But yeah, no, Dirty Diana, because I'm like, Beat It. You know, when you hit down, 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 that shit get you there.
But it's Remember the Times for me.
Okay.
Because I plug my own shit in to the song. And, you know, I felt where he was coming from when he made it, you know? When he was saying, do you remember the times? And then I'm like, damn, I remember the time this happened. I remember the time that happened. So let's Remember the Times for me. And a video, man, that shit was cool.
Because I think I'm more tripping because all y'all niggas agree on that song. I think that's what it is, because when you hear a lot of people talk about Mike, it's not common that niggas choose songs that's not on the first three albums.
Right.
So that's what it is. Yeah, because it's a lot of songs about Mike that I love. Like,
oh, no question.
For all
no
y'all
question.
To agree as three people, like, it'll literally be like, you ask three niggas and they all say, oh, my favorite color is turquoise. All three?
Right.
Damn.
Yeah, that's rare. That's rare. Yeah, that song just does it for me. It really resonates. And like JR just said, like when you think about them, when you break down the words, do you remember, you know, when we fell in love, you remember the time,
yeah,
you know, it's
yeah.
just like, it takes you back when we first met.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very simplistic. Butterflies is another one from
it was
the
like
Invincible.
A New Jack Swing beat.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he was.
Teddy Riley did that one.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He had that.
Oh,
you
hell
know,
yeah.
It was
shout
the
out
sound.
God.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. Like as Mike progressed, you know, his sound changed, you know, people that he worked with. I don't necessarily know that he worked a lot more with Quincy Jones going forward. And that just could have been because of schedule. I'm not sure. I don't think that they had any beef or anything like that, or Rod Temperton for that matter. But you know, it was, you know, by that time, you know, he had got with Teddy and that Dangerous album, very, very New Jack swingish. One of the favorite joints on there was Jam. Yeah. Remember the video with Michael Jackson and Michael Jordan.
Our greatest basketball player of all time.
Heavy D.
There you go. Heavy D. Let's just ignore what he just said. But yeah, it's incredible, man. I mean, like his run. Before we end this, I guess it'd probably be, we got to talk about, you know, his legacy. I mean, because obviously none of us in 1982 or 85 or 88 would have imagined that at this stage of the game, Michael Jackson would be gone. But he's been gone now for since what, 2009, I think. And I remember getting the news from a little website called TMZ, someplace I'd never heard of. And they were reporting that Michael Jackson was dead. And I'm like, who the fuck is TMZ? And why are they saying Michael Jackson's dead? Michael Jackson ain't dead. And like, I couldn't, but, and so like, that was my first time ever hearing about TMZ. But I mean, obviously Mike went through a whole bunch of stuff with the, you know, allegations and courts and all of this other stuff. I mean, it's well documented. And people, there's some people that have taken a hard stance on Mike, and they feel like, you know, he did some of the things that he was alleged to have done. So JR, starting with you, man, what do you think overall his legacy is? And do you think some of the scandals, the two-part question, do you think the scandals have hurt his legacy? And what do you think his overall legacy is?
Are his legacies like this? Y'all see this DVD right here. Biggest show on HBO. And that's to this day. You can go fact check that 12 Cal.
I believe you.
Everybody has strife and has trials and tribulation. I can't speak on everything that went on because we don't know what went on. And, you know, at the end of the road, like when he was getting towards the end of his career, and, you know, with watching the documentary movie that he had come out to, it's kind of like his legacy is going to always be straight with us when it comes to the music. But the outside politics, it just depends on the person and how they feel about allegations. Because we never got anything substantiated. Because if we got something substantiated, he would have been behind bars. Mm-hmm. And if you know, because
an episode about that shit,
they talked about Jesus.
Yeah, I did. Oh. I did an episode. Like I literally slapped the shit out you behind shit like that. Mm-hmm. Like I don't like that shit. Like I literally don't let niggas play on Mike's name around me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Nothing was ever substantiated, so he was good in my book. So his legacy is that he is the greatest musician of all time. Like, for me, I understand what we said about Prince and all that stuff, but we're talking about...
Greatest musician?
Or no, we'll say greatest artist. He's okay. The greatest. I recant that one more time. This is my second recant.
He don't play no damn instruments.
Then. All right. He is the greatest artist, and he is the king of pop. Whom is better than him? No one. Who could take that crown even in this day age of music? No one. That's that genius that he had from a child all the way to his demise. You know, with the exception of them latter albums, because after Invincible, anything else that came out or was made. Because, you know, one thing I want to say about Michael Jackson is Michael Jackson went through periods like Whitney Houston. He did not make a lot of music. His music was so good that it just carried itself, just like his sister Janet. You know, so his legacy is that he was the king of pop.
What about you, Rodis?
Yeah, quality over quantity. I think Michael Jackson's legacy is he's gonna go down as the greatest entertainer of all time, the greatest artist of all time, and the most remembered artist of all time. Now, as far as the allegations and everything, I'm going to just say this, like, whenever we up or about to be up or something, we always, you know, come to our sudden demise or get locked up or some shit because of these rules that's designed in the system that, you know, that ain't for us to win anyway, but I ain't trying to get all political and shit. I'm not sending my kids to nobody motherfucking house if I don't think they say. I'm just going to say that. So, you know, shout out to Johnny Cochran for arguing that shit in the first place. But Michael Jackson go down as the greatest entertainer of all time. And his music is still selling. And that shows
Facts. What about you, Dolomite?
Mike didn't touch them motherfucking kids.
No doubt.
He the motherfucking GOAT. Like, when you talk about GOATs, he's the GOAT. He the GOAT of GOATs. Like, it's a whole lot of arguable motherfuckers when you talk about the GOAT. When you want to talk about the greatest boxer of all time, it's between, you know, Ali and Tyson. Greatest basketball player, Kobe, Jordan, LeBron. Like, Mike, nah, my nigga. Like, you can throw Prince's name out there, but album for album, park that shit. Like, everybody gonna bring up Purple Rain, but that's pretty much where it fucking stops. Like, Bad, Thriller, and Off the Wall, it ain't a lot of niggas with a three that could fuck with that. So even no matter how many Mike albums you'd say, oh, this ain't that and that ain't this. Like, nigga, if we just put them three albums up, it ain't nobody fucking with that three. And excluding nobody. Not the Beatles, not Stevie, not fucking Beethoven. No damn body. So, you know, Mike, he's the GOAT of GOATs. And he didn't touch the motherfucking kids.
Yeah, man, I'm with you guys. I think his legacy, particularly for people like us, is pretty much solidified. I don't necessarily know that. I know that there's always gonna be a segment of people who, you know, will fall victim to what was alleged, and everybody has their own right to think what they want to think and feel how they want to feel. I don't view Mike in the same way I view R. Kelly or anybody like that. I think his music wise, he's untouchable. I mean, he's the king, definitely the king of pop. And his records and his, you know, that part of his legacy speaks for itself. But I mean, like, I think one of the things that I learned from Mike's death was like how much he was. I mean, like, we knew people loved him. We all loved
him. I cried when Mike died.
I cried too.
No,
I cried in front of my wife, nigga. She was like, "What are you crying for?"
I felt bad.
Why wouldn't I be fucking crying, nigga? This motherfucker raised me. This nigga lived in my house my whole fucking childhood.
Understood.
Why are you not crying?
Right.
Boy, I was jumping out in them damn talent shows. I want you back. You know what I'm saying? Hell yeah. I mean,
and that's the thing. Like, Michael Jackson is one of the few entertainers I think that has that type of cachet where we all have we've literally on this episode each talked about different albums and we got different memories from different albums. And I don't know that you can say that about any other artist. I mean, like, even as big a fan as I am of Prince, there's some Prince albums that I've heard and I'm like, yeah, so, you know, and I mean, Mike's got some albums, like you said, JR, after Invincible, it was downhill. I remember we went to go see that movie, his last movie, that movie that came out like right before he died.
This is it.
And that song was
a banger too.
Yeah, I mean, like, and so, like, he still, and this was a packed movie theater, you know what I'm saying? Like, and this wasn't even a concert. This was a movie about leading up to a concert. And it was, the movie was sold out. So, I mean, like, I think his legacy is solidified. I think, you know, it would have been nice, obviously, if he had lived longer, because I think we never saw Michael Jackson with social media, or we saw him at the Super Bowl, but we never saw Michael Jackson do some of the things that people, I mean, can you imagine Michael Jackson with TikTok?
I was gonna ask too, like, if you can name a current artist, who would you want Mike to work with?
I think Mike, he pretty much worked with everybody from his era.
Well, I mean, somebody right now that's active.
Somebody right
Nas.
Now.
Nas.
You will say that shit.
Hey, Nas just dropped Magic too. So that's a fire.
You know what? I could see him with Nas.
With no rapper.
I can't really see Michael.
I would. Tyler, maybe, the Creator.
They would kill it.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Tyler, the Creator.
One thing that people...
Or even Childish Gambino.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be good. One thing that people fail to realize about Michael Jackson, savvy, he owned half of the Beatles catalog. I mean, that's half of Sony. Him.
That's why they killed
Sony, half of everything on Sony and the whole Beatles catalog. Mm.
That's when all them allegations start popping up.
Yeah.
Mm. And so, see, that makes it that much tougher because like,
he didn't touch the motherfucking kids.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't know.
The Beatles catalog and half of everything on Sony.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I mean, like, he was
a lot of.
That's when he became Wacko Jacko.
Exactly.
Hey, look, though, I will say
he made
this.
A power move.
Chris Brown, just on an entertainment spot. You know, it'd have to be a good beat or, you know, something slow. It couldn't be nothing too fast. But then they pick up that, then they do an up-tempo. They had to do two songs. An up-tempo one, so they can dance and, you know.
Oh, no question. No question.
And then something slow, because they would figure it out, you know. You know, long as Rodney Jerkins wasn't involved.
No doubt.
No problem with him or anything, but you know,
I think that's the reason that I said Childish Gambino and Tyler, because they could produce some shit.
Yeah,
that I think Mike could act a motherfucking fool on.
Oh, you know he would.
And what's that dude?
And
what's
you know, Mike gonna bring some to the table in a session. He ain't one of those artists that
exactly.
And this one might be a little bit out there, but Miguel would do something crazy with Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I think that'd be dope.
Yeah,
or Frank Ocean.
Frank Ocean, yeah.
Wow.
I like Frank Ocean.
And then if he was just keeping it on the West Side,
yeah, just don't say no gay shit.
No, I'm saying he could do something with Dolla Sign though.
Oh, Ty Dolla Sign, yeah, Mike and Ty, yeah,
yeah, that would be crazy. Like if he was doing something this year, that would.
Yeah.
So before we get out of here, man, give everybody a chance to. You know, plug their podcast, plug their movies, whatever they got going on. Rodis, I'll start with you first, man. Tell folks where they can find you and where they can hear your podcast.
You can find my podcast on RodisOnline.net exclusively and Linktree/Rodis, RODES. And you could get some merch from the Rodis Live Podcast Store.com. Mm. Episodes drop every Friday at midnight.
There you go. Dola Mike.
OnlyFans.com/DaddyLongLegs. Nah, you can follow me on all social medias at Uncle Dola Mike. You can Google the Too Much Game podcast. It pops up. I'm on all streaming platforms. YouTube, I go live every Sunday between about 2:30 and 6 p.m. Pacific time. Please subscribe with your bitch ass.
The 12 Kyle podcast drops weekly everywhere. You can find it on all streaming platforms. Got a YouTube channel where you can watch videos as well. The podcast drops weekly every Thursday at midnight from time to time. We drop bonus episodes on Sundays. 12 Kyle, you can find me. I'm across the board. At 12 Kyle on all social platforms. What about you, JR?
All right. On Mondays, you can catch me on West Virginia Uncommonplace presents the collection. It's an archival podcast of my best episodes from West Virginia Uncommonplace. Now, you can catch me on Tuesdays along with the great Stacy on Sparrows Under Review, where we review every and anything that you can possibly think of. We are on top of it. Then on Thursday, you can catch me for the greatest podcast out of West Virginia Uncommonplace. And if you want to be part of the Legion, head over to Discord. You can do all those other social medias, but you come to Discord and you're going to get an intimate, you know, thing with us and we're going to keep it going. Also, the Wire app. Hit me up on there. That's the only encrypted way you're going to get in touch with me. You hit me in the DMs, you ain't going to find me nowhere unless you're a podcaster. So fans, that's where you catch me. And one thing I do want to say here is I want to thank 12 Cal. I want to thank Rodis. I want to thank Uncle motherfucking Dolomite for allowing me to be.
Please say the motherfucking.
Motherfucking. Oh, all right. My bad. You got it. I want to thank y'all for allowing me to come into y'all's arena and, you know, do something with y'all.
Nah, man, this was dope. I didn't plan to host, but didn't have one note or anything. And this is fun, man. Anytime you can get around and with a collective of great minds and talk about music, man, that's always fun. I encourage all of you, please, ma'am, please, sir, to subscribe to all of our efforts. The thing that I say about my podcast, and I will say about these gentlemen's podcasts as well, if you listen to one episode, I promise you, you'll listen to another because they're just that good. So that's going to do it for us. So for JR, for Uncle Dolomite, for Rodus, I'm your boy 12 Kyle. We'll catch you guys in the future.